trial of Karen Reed continuing on. The 44-year-old resident of Mansfield entered its second day, and she entered the second day in the courtroom with gripping testimonies that shed light on the tragic death of Boston police officer John O'Keefe. Reed, of course, facing the charges of second-degree murder, manslaughter, while operating under the influence and leaving the scene of a personal, somebody who's injured and dying. During Tuesday's proceedings, the court heard from Canton Fire Lieutenant Anthony Flamati and paramedic Timothy Nuttall, who were among the first responders at the scene. Flamati described arriving to find 4 to 6 inches of snow on the ground and a female party, later identified as Reed, administering chest compressions on O'Keefe. Nuttall provided a detailed account of the emergency measures taken to save O'Keefe's life.
He was noted to have, and I was right at the head, he was noted to have a hematoma on the right side of his face, just above his eye on his forehead. And there was some scratches on the right arm, the upper arm.
And use the term as far as a hematoma. Could you explain what you understand that term to me?
Lack of a better term is just an egg. He had a pretty good egg on his head.
And as far as anything beyond that, did you observe anything or note anything beyond the egg on the head and scratches on the right arm?
As we got further down our treatment modality, we went to place an advanced airway. It was noted to have some blood, some mucus, and some bile in the back of his airway.
Including efforts to clear his airway of blood, mucus, and bile, he noted that O'Keefe was unresponsive with no pulse and had a hematoma above his right eye alongside scratches on his right arm. Despite these efforts, O'Keefe's condition upon the responder's arrival painted a very grim picture of his last moments. The courtroom was tense as Alan Jackson, Reed's attorney, and also country music singer.
I can't stop thinking about that.
Yeah, it's amazing what Alan Jackson is up to these days. Reed's attorney cross-examined witnesses, highlighting discrepancies in the police report and questioning the accuracy of witness descriptions of O'Keefe's clothing and injuries. Jackson focused on challenging the initial observations at the scene, suggesting that the injuries might not solely relate to a vehicular incident, pointing out that a lot of different scenarios could lead to similar physical outcomes, not just physical altercations. Jackson's defense attorney also pointed to possible mismanagement or errors in the police investigation, noting incorrect addresses and timing discrepancies in the official records. He questioned whether these inconsistencies were oversights or indicative of a deeper issue within the investigation. The emotional charge of the trial was very palpable. With Reed supporters and O'Keefe's family present in the courtroom, witnesses described Reed as visibly shaken and in shock, actively trying to revive O'Keefe, which contrasts with the prosecution's portrayal of her as being responsible for his death.
As I was ventilating, I was able to ask, did anybody see anything? Did anybody, what happened? And there was one individual that replied several times, I hit him.
And did you know that individual at that time?
I did not.
Can you describe the individual that said that?
I would describe her as mid-40s, average build, average height. And the other two, very similar.
Karen Reed is who he is describing in that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, this case continues to kind of baffle me when you do have someone who's at the scene of the accident when the police arrive. And they're saying, I hit him. How do you pull that back? It seems like right away it was, shit, this happened, you know?
I don't know how you pull that back, because you've got paramedics who don't know these people who maybe paramedics. I used to be an EMT, so I do know. I knew a couple of police officers that I saw all the time. Like if we had a cardiac event, usually the officer was on scene before we arrived, because it takes us a little bit longer. They might have been in the neighborhood. And you get to kind of know them. But this paramedic didn't know Karen Reed. And he's just taking in what's going on. And your adrenaline's going because, geez, you're doing compressions on a human being. This, mm-hmm. No matter how many times you've done it, as an EMT paramedic, you're still at a high anxiety level, most people, when you're doing this. So you're going to be very observant of what's around you. You're going to remember things. So he remembers this woman who seemed frantic and shaken and in shock, saying, "I hit him, I hit him." I don't know how you reverse that, how
and
you
drunk.
Turn that into anything. Yeah. And drunk. And that's something, again, paramedics, EMTs, you're very cognizant of what smells are around. Some patients really don't smell good. You notice alcohol, you can smell marijuana. There are things that you immediately pick up on. She was intoxicated. I just feel like she accidentally hit him. Maybe they got into a fight. Maybe they were actually having a fight. She got in her car, sped off, but hit the wrong, like put it in reverse and hit him.
Yeah.
And then took off. I mean, remember how pissed off Tiger Woods' wife got? She went after him with the car and a golf club. I mean, yeah. We get a little emotional when we're pissed. Maybe they had a fight and she hit him. But she was so freaking drunk, she didn't really know what she did. And then as she started to sober up, went, wait a minute, what happened?
Yeah.
Something happened. That's my thought.
That's,
and yeah. Because he was a cop and she was, you know, close to this, the thought of, I need to cover this up instead of admitting I did something wrong. And then it just snowballed from there. No pun intended.
No, that seems to make the most sense of all of this, quite honestly. And it's not saying that Karen Reed is an evil, murderous person.
No.
It's like bad things happened one night when everybody was drunk. And unfortunately it ended with him dying. I don't think
they panicked. They didn't know what the hell to do. They're part of law enforcement.
Yeah.
This stuff isn't supposed to happen. It would look bad. So they needed to freaking cover it up because they felt scared. Maybe they didn't think they could go to their supervisors and say what happened. They couldn't admit the truth. Who knows? But
I don't know.
You expect different from law enforcement. You don't think they're going to be drunk and driving and getting into arguments and fights. And so maybe this was just a really horrible cover-up that's now out of control.
Yeah.
And instead of, I messed up and made a mistake, somebody's going to jail.
It's a lot of bad behavior. And I think, I mean, the reality of the truth, I don't know if anyone will ever truly know that, because I don't know that those involved truly know it, quite honestly, or remember it due to all the drinking that night. I don't know. I mean, it's an interesting one, because you look at it and go, okay, I don't think anybody in this thing is evil or like out to kill people, but this shit happened. And yeah, there needs to be some sort of accountability. Why can't anybody take it? Or is everyone incapable again? Because they literally don't remember. I don't know.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.